Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 7th of May, 12 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we welcome your participation roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. A lot like the fun drive telephone number, people often accuse me of saying it too fast, so I'll slow it down. Roundtable at WAMC.org. It's as simple as that. Let me introduce the panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Remember, my middle name is Alan. Put some money in the lockbox, please, Chartok.
Yes. And we'll have more on that later, but in the meantime, do it. Also, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us. Mike, thank you very much.
Happy to be here, Joe.
Always good to have you join us and have you with us. Let us talk about a lot of good things. Well, not, you know, maybe not necessarily, but good subjects to speak about. And let us begin with the climate change report, which I find fascinating on a couple of levels. The U.S. climate has already changed, study finds, citing heat and floods. The effects of human-induced climate change are being felt in every corner of the United States, scientists reported Tuesday, with water growing scarcer in dry regions, torrential rains increasing in wet regions, heat waves becoming more common and more severe, wildfires growing worse, and forests dying under assault from heat-loving insects. Such sweeping changes have been caused by an average warming of less than 2 degrees Fahrenheit over most land areas of the country in the past century. The scientists found if greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane continue to escalate at a rapid pace, the warming could conceivably exceed 10 degrees by the end of this century. This is a major new report assessing the situation in the United States. And I think from the coverage that I have heard on this, you have many of the great climatologists and the great scientists on this issue, including our good friend Bill McKibben, who was on All Things Considered last night, saying, "Yeah, this is what we've been saying for 25 years." And then on
a
the
little solace,
right? And then on the other side, you have people who saying, "Well, it still doesn't explain this, and this." So,
as the grandfather of a new little baby, I worry about what this world is going to look like as he grows up, and you have several grandchildren, Michael, right?
Right. And so we worry about them all. It's not really in our lifetime that the severity of all this will be. It's for future generations, and you can get away from the discussion about whether it's man-induced or it's a change that is just happening in nature. Steps have to be taken to preserve our way of life. Agriculture is going to change. People who live in coastal areas are going to experience change. Our reporter, Brian Nearing, who covers the environment today, focused on the Northeast U.S. Chapter of this climate change report that was authored by David. One of the authors was David Wolf from Cornell. And they say that New York State should expect warmer weather, wetter weather, more disease-carrying ticks will thrive in that, more mosquitoes will thrive in that, people who have allergies will be affected by it. It'll change the way people grow crops. It'll change what crops we grow. It's going to have an impact. Regardless of what's causing it, this is the trend. It's trackable. In the last 110 years, the temperature's gone up about 4 to 6 degrees, depending on which study you look at. That is not a short-term thing. You know, you just don't have to look back at last year and say, "Well, we had a lot of storms last year, therefore it's true." This is science, and now we have to react to it. We have to, like Mayor Bloomberg, when he was in the last year of being mayor of New York City, was looking for mitigation of what would, essentially be flooded areas in lower Manhattan and in parts of other parts of New York City. And it was demonstrated that that is a real vulnerability and people are going to have to do something. You better start talking about it and taking some action.
No matter what you may think of Al Gore, you take a look at the Inconvenient Truth movie. And he stood there and he showed us exactly what was going to happen. And the poo-pooers said, "Oh, no." And then along comes Sandy, and exactly that happens. I mean, it's almost as if, you know, it was going according to script. The subways were flooded. The, you know, the downtown area where which had been added on to into the harbor was underwater, and we, like either lemmings or you know, or any of the other animals which we see putting their heads in the ground, we ostriches find ourselves doing exactly the same thing. And it's infuriating. For what? Why? We have to do something. It's not that we don't understand it, Mike, you're exactly right. It is that we can't figure out, we can't get ourselves going here, although we can investigate all kinds of little stupid things. This is, you know, a challenge to our very existence.
I was concerned. I'll use that word very tempered, concerned. but I was watching some of the coverage on this on the right last night, and one of the comments that I heard from one of the guests was, well, you know, what's two degrees? I mean, like, right. if it's 60 and then it's 62, well, what difference does it make? Well, and then somebody had the brilliant program that I was watching, I believe was the NewsHour, they said, you know, think about the human body, 98.6. And if you up that by 2 or 3 degrees,
right.
You have a fever and are sick as anything.
Right.
And imagine our planet heating up to a point where we become sick. Mm. And, and it seems to me to be a very difficult I think that the White House has been very open in coming out with this report and saying, look, we're trying to create a sense of urgency so that when the president has a new climate change regulation that he will release in June, that there will be some action because there is that sense of urgency. But I don't know, because we've been talking about this for so long, and it's been an issue for more than two decades of an important, you know, it's been an issue for much more than two decades, but it's been an issue where we've been arguing about it for more than two decades. You know, have we firmly planted our feet in the ground and aren't going to move in any one direction? Well, will we act to a sense of urgency?
Well, I think people rationalize away from doing, you know, being motivated to take action by looking, you know, across the globe, and they say, well, exactly. China isn't doing anything, and India isn't doing anything, and other new industrialized countries are polluting the air, so everything we do is not going to change anything anyway, so why bother? You know,
yeah,
I've heard that rationale.
But you're right, Mike, but of course we were there first.
Yeah, right.
You know, and who could forget Kyoto and the fact that, right. You know, despite the fact that we talk about, you know, are being clean and doing things right now, you know, it seems so that we're not taking the right kind of leadership in this country. And yeah, I think, Joe, you're right. Obama will come up with these new ideas, and we've had some of them. I mean, you know, cars are mandated to get a certain number of miles an hour. Priuses are getting, 50 and up to 60 miles per gallon So there's something going on. But if everybody doesn't do it, Mike's exactly right. If we don't take the lead in that, I think we're in real trouble.
I'll kind of wrap this up here by reading a line from the New York Times article. Instead of giving a Rose Garden speech, President Obama spent Tuesday giving interviews to local and national weather broadcasters on climate change and extreme weather. The goal was to help Americans connect the vast planetary problems of global warming caused by carbon emissions from cars and coal plants to the changing conditions in their own backyards. It was a strategic decision that senior White House staff members had been planning for months. So the question is, will that work?
Well, there was a story that I heard on NPR on the way home last night that actually questioned whether this is going to be an effective strategy, because meteorologists, believe it or not, are not all on board. You know,
right.
Some are skeptical because they see the difficulty in predicting weather patterns over days and weeks, and it leaves them to be skeptical of trying to predict it over longer periods of time. And whether these are the experts, although officially, you know, the American Meteorology Association does completely embrace what the president's talking about, individual members, when they're surveyed, are not different from the general public. There's skepticism among the ranks, or there's that feeling that it's inevitable, it's out of our control, and I'm just going to report what happens. So
well, there's a couple of things. One is that the politics of the situation seem to be what's really driving a lot of it. You know, Republicans would rather, not all Republicans, but many Republicans would rather see the president go down than succeed in a sort of nonpartisan effort to change this. So, secondly, on your point, and I'll get a little criticism for this, I suspect, maybe deserving it, weather persons are not always chosen for their long-term,
brilliance.
brilliance. Sometimes it's there are other criteria that are used. Hmm.
And with that evil laugh, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Allardyce Glass and Mirror, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing sales, service, and installation of glass, shower enclosures, mirror, and screen products for the home. Allardyce.com. Twillas, Ford, Gold, Butler, and Monroe, LLP, a New York law firm representing physicians and healthcare professionals for over 100 years, nymeddefense.com. And MPAC, providing the Capital Region with a full schedule of cultural events, including performances, screenings, talks, concerts, and more, mpac.rpi.edu.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. In fact, we got a couple.
Yeah, we do. James said, "Good, great show." One of you said it's a science, and that's the key point. So many people in this country are not scientifically literate, and people are scared of it because they don't understand it. When people don't understand something, they fear and ignore it. We need to educate the people. I get so frustrated with people arguing against it. It's like pick up a high school science book and step into the 20th century. Okay, so that was that one. And then Jim says, no surprise, Republicans and fossil fuel company reps have come out against the climate change report. I've had it with these knuckle draggers. They are not only the loyal opposition, they are the enemy. God help us all if they take the Senate this year and the White House in 2016. Yikes.
We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Thank you, says Christina, for featuring the story on global warming. I think this is such an important issue, and I wish the mainstream media would cover it more because people are just not taking it seriously. Thank you for doing your part, said Christina. But I have to tell you, the mainstream media was doing their part this morning. It was all over the place.
Yeah, and
page of the New York Times, your paper, Michael,
Your report, I think, is interesting, Mike, because part of the White House strategy was to take this global problem and bring it into people's backyards. And Brian Nearing has written a story that said, look, New York is going to be warmer, wetter, and buggier.
Buggier, yeah. He uses the chapter that was written by David Wolf, who's chairman of the Climate Change Focus Group at Cornell University, who helped to write that chapter. And it was based on numerous peer-reviewed scientific studies. It also reviewed the National Research Council, was reviewed by the National Research Council and the National Academy of Sciences. This is, again, to underscore that this is not just somebody's opinion. This is based on more than decades, actually centuries of measurements and other studies. And a lot has even changed since 2008, Wolf said, when the U.S. government first released their last report. Things that were just projected are actually happening. And, you know, he refers to heavier rainfall, more coastal storms, and that causes sea levels to rise, increases flooding. There's been more summer heat stress in recent years. He says that the result of this will be agriculture, fisheries, the ecosystems will be increasingly compromised by climate change impacts, including both too much and too little water, and expanding ranges of crop pests and invasive species. Farmers can explore new crop options with longer growing seasons, but they'll have to adapt, and it will not be cost-free or risk-free. And that's where Brian points out that average temperatures in the Northeast have risen by 2 degrees in the period from 1895 to 2011, and then there's been an average of 5 more inches of annual rainfall in that same period. I think Joe made a good point. I mean, 2 degrees spread out can really have an impact. And this is what scientists are saying. It isn't like, oh, it's 2 degrees cooler, I'll have to grab my sweater. It's 2 degrees overall, which has some extreme components to it when it happens in summer or winter. And we know what that's like if we've just experienced the last winter.
To say nothing about Lyme disease, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
We have an epidemic now.
The ticks and the mosquitoes.
And then we have the experts on and they say, well, it's not only Lyme disease, but it's 16 other diseases that these guys carry and all the rest.
These tick-borne illnesses beyond Lyme disease, that's perhaps one of the scariest. The ticks will thrive in this kind of weather. And, you know, allergies will be worse because the ragweed pollen season will become longer, et cetera, et cetera. And that includes New York State, the Lake George region, the capital region. So he talked to other professors, like a professor at Union College who's been studying the Mohawk, and he says that such storms are going to mean more and more challenge to local infrastructure, like bridges will have to be replaced sooner, and culverts will have to be fixed. So it's going to have an increasing impact on us.
So John checked in, Joe, and said what 2 degrees Celsius means. In reality, the climatologists aren't computing how much warmer it will get. They're computing the excess heat energy the Earth will retain and have to do something with. They're just trying to translate excess heat energy into something the average person can understand, and it's failed. So let's convert that energy into something easier to understand. Hiroshima bombs, if you do a very optimistic conversion, both of those words in quotes, that quote, 2 degrees Celsius at the surface is equivalent to dumping the energy of 20,000 Hiroshima bombs into the atmosphere every year from now on. And that's from John. And
we got to go to a break.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay, that's all right. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we will continue with our conversation and go to more letters and more comments after we hear news from NPR. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We welcome your input, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we will get to letters from this morning in just a moment. We do want to talk about another issue, and that is the Monica Lewinsky story. Monica Lewinsky says she became reclusive during Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign for president in 2008 for fear that she would be used for political purposes and that she feels gun-shy even now as Mrs. Clinton considers another run in 2016. Despite Ms. Lewinsky's trepidation, she writes in a forthcoming issue of Vanity Fair that she now feels compelled to emerge from the shadows because, quote, should I put my life on hold for another 8 to 10 years? It is time, she writes, to stop tiptoeing around my past and other people's futures. I am determined to have a different ending to my story. I've decided finally to stick my head above the parapet so that I can take back my narrative and give purpose to my past. What will this cost me? I will soon find out. thoughts?
All I'm doing is sitting here shaking my head. You know, I have this belief that when somebody gets into the game, really gets into the game, their name is out there all the time, no matter how bad it is. This is sort of the fickle finger of fate, of fame anyway, that I have no idea what she's talking about. Hillary once called her Mike, a Looney Tunes or something like that?
Yeah, I think the quote was Looney Tunes.
Well, this is Looney Tunish. She did her thing. She kept the dress. Nobody can figure out why to this day. She was as they were out to get Bill. Hillary called it a huge right wing conspiracy. Everybody laughed at her. She was right. And now he retires, the president. He gets impeached. Yes, he got impeached. He did not get removed, but he got impeached. And he retires as the most popular president, including Ronald Reagan, in the history of the United States. So that's extraordinary. End of story. So all of a sudden, she's back. We talk about climate change, which is the future of everyone on this planet, and then we talk about Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
You know, and she's getting her story out there. She says, oh, poor me. I'm not going to put my life on hold. Who told her to put her life on hold?
Well, she's been having difficulty getting employment. She got her master's degree in economics in London, but employers are hesitant to hire her because of the attention her celebrity might bring.
She says,
right. Maureen Dowd, the great columnist for The New York Times, great, I think, but others may disagree, said it was like a golden oldie tour of a band you didn't want to hear in the first place. And she's tired of it.
I love it.
But she doesn't really knock Monica Lewinsky. I mean, she raises, Maureen Dowd raises legitimate points that, even though it was both sides said was a consensual relationship, it seems like the president has escaped any real long-term harm from it, but it's affected Monica Lewinsky's life. What I wondered was, did you see any reference to what she was paid to write the story? I mean, she obviously received something from Vanity Fair for it.
I looked for that, and I also thought that it was a precursor to a book, which it does not appear to be, at least immediately. The other thing that I thought that was a good point in the Maureen Dowd piece was that, how does this differ from, look, after she wrote her book, Monica's Story, she went on all the talk shows, she did Barbara Walters, she did 60 Minutes, she did the tour, she told her story, she said what happened, so now you tell it again.
Americans can't get enough. Look at the tabs.
But for us as journalists, what is new in this story? That she's writing, other than there's 20 years perspective, what is new that she's telling us?
Good point, but put it a different way. She's back, and we're buying.
We're talking about it. That's something. Yeah. But there is a curiosity of what happened to people who had, just any kind of really big focus in the news 20 years ago, and they sort of disappear off the face of the earth, and where are they now? I mean, there's always an interest where they are now, what they're doing,
sex.
What they look like. When you add sex to that, it certainly makes it more interesting.
She's become a verb, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't go further into it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And Maureen Dowd does document that today, the value of print versus broadcast. But the... one of the most popular techniques on the internet to get traffic is to say, where are these child actors now? Where are the stars of that hit TV series now? People love to just quickly see where they are, what they're doing. And, there's a curiosity about celebrities.
Every time they have that little thing in the corner that says 10 celebrities have been arrested. Well, I got to click on it.
Right. I saw one the other day, 45 celebrities who've killed people. And it has all these lists of people who ran over people in cars or were involved in accidents, et cetera. And people want to know when a celebrity does something because they're a celebrity.
But to the main point of what you said earlier about her career and about, not wanting to be hired. hard and all of this stuff. And, you know, not to play shrink here, but does this help that of going
out? No, that's my point. Yeah. Exactly right.
I mean, she could do a reality TV show and probably make a lot of money.
And probably will if she can. If they bought, I think she tried something like that already, didn't she? Anyway, Gina checked in and said she didn't get a degree in economics. She got a social psychology degree from London School of Economics.
Oh, that's right. I stand correct.
And that's a hard field to find a job in for anyone.
So is economics. But that's another point. Yes, I stand corrected. I breezed over that.
Well, didn't she also, she had like a pocketbook line, right?
Yeah, that failed.
She was a designer.
No, that failed.
That failed. Mm. And, yeah, the reality show is an interesting idea.
I thought she did something like that.
There was an HBO
Fox
movie.
Yeah, there was a movie. No. There was a movie, and then, Sarah Palin did one.
I thought I read, no, not
actually,
Sarah
that one. Would be a great show, Sarah Palin and Monica Lewinsky together. That would be a great.
You'll get
it probably
you'll
would get ratings.
On that one.
It would get ratings, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, climate change. What about that?
What about Ray Graff?
Oh, Ray is here. Yeah. Ray is here. You've made it.
Yeah, that's good.
You guys talking about presidential souvenirs today?
We are indeed.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about important stuff like climate change and probably not so important stuff.
I heard it in the car.
Oh, did you?
You're going to sit down talking to a microphone?
Yeah.
There you go.
Monica Lewinsky. We're just talking about Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah,
have you heard too much?
I was listening to what Alan said.
Hmm. So what's that?
Well, I mean, why doesn't she have the right to speak her mind?
She has a right to speak her mind.
You're downplaying it. You're saying, why now?
Well, no, on the contrary. I think I understand exactly why she's doing
politics,
it.
Politics, you think?
No, it's self-seeking, sort of narcissistic nonsense.
Well, that's what Hillary described her as.
Hillary is right.
Well, I think Alan's point, which I agree with, is that you have, you're out of the limelight for however long, and you want to get back in the limelight.
Want to get in the game again.
And maybe make some money.
It was an interesting read, actually.
I haven't read it.
And
I mean,
I read chunks of it. And
well,
basically,
because the whole thing hasn't been read. It's a 4,300-word essay, and it will ultimately be released on Thursday. The only thing I've read, which I probably is the same thing you read, was just the excerpts
and they're fascinating, because she says quite clearly, This was a consensual thing between adults.
Yes, she did.
And she wasn't pointing the finger of blame. And also she said, you know, there are those on the right who say, I was silenced, there was a conspiracy to keep me quiet, nothing could be further from the truth. So my question for you is, if in fact we take as written that she has had difficulty getting jobs or getting her life and her mind together, what is actually wrong? Even if, as Mike said, she got paid for this, what is actually wrong with this?
Well, I mean, wrong schmong. I mean, I happen to think that what happened here was that she was out of the game, wanted to get back in the game, and did what a lot of people do. Most of us are falling for it.
I don't disagree with you that is there's nothing wrong with her writing it. The question is what is new and what is to Alan's point of us falling for it, that it is something. What is she
what
saying
are we falling,
this time?
What are we falling for?
Well, what is she saying? What is she saying now that she didn't say before?
Ray, let me ask you this: is she entitled to celebrityhood based on a sex act?
Why not?
Well,
because you know why?
Because I think, sir,
people care.
I think, sir, I'll see you on the Weehawken plane. We have to prioritize, and our priorities are screwed up.
Let me ask you this: do you think that it was the sex act that made her a celebrity? I think not.
Well, it's the sex act with the right person. Now there will be people who think, for example, that he used a college intern inappropriately.
A lot of people will think that.
Yes, that's right. And that this
because
is a matter
I think it's true.
Because he did, right.
This is a matter of power. Right.
Right. So, Even though she says that is not the case, there is a case to be made, a strong case for that.
Oh, please.
Well, they weren't equal.
The further point of that, though, to when she goes on to say that it was consensual. However, she said that the abuse came in the use of her as a scapegoat.
By both sides, she said, which I thought was very interesting. It's a good read.
Well, you know, it's an interesting chapter in a continuing story.
I'm far less sympathetic than you are, Raymond.
Fine. And I think that may be the first time ever you're less sympathetic than I am.
Well, I mean, as my mom would say.
Well,
when you were in an argument with her.
I mean, there is a compelling human aspect to this. I mean, that she went through bouts of near suicide, et cetera. I mean, it must. You could see why that kind of attention on a young woman, even if she was flawed already for all the reasons you said, Alan. You know, that kind of notoriety, and then being, you know, becoming the butt of jokes, becoming you know, a verb, you know, it can ruin someone's life, and that she's sort of getting it back together is interesting, you know.
I think she wants back in the game. I truly do, and I
whatever
I've
that game is.
I'm not sure what the game is.
Well, fame.
Yeah.
It's called fame, Raymond.
Fame.
You don't
get
that part of it.
Yeah.
No, you know, let the record show he's shaking his head, holding up his hands in a sort of hopeless position. You know, that's what he's doing now.
I'm glad I got back early.
Yeah, me too. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes and have some more stories to talk about. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Gordon Fire Equipment, offering fire extinguisher service and inspections to businesses and organizations in the Hudson Valley, family-owned since 1956, gordonfire.com. Homebrew Emporium, announcing their new location, 550 North Avenue in New Rochelle, offering beer, wine, and cheesemaking equipment and supplies, tea, herbs, and more. And North Shire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, hosting Garrison Keillor presenting The Keillor Reader, May 20th at 7 p.m., northshire.com.
There it is. The light goes on. You talk.
Excellent. I'll learn that someday.
Yeah.
We have lots of letters to get to. Ooh. And a lot of people want to weigh in on the Monica Lewinsky issue. I don't know. Is it an issue? I don't know.
Okay.
The Vanity Fair
story.
Issue of the Monica
Lewinsky story.
All right. Anthony said, "What's the mystery? A woman's scorn." Hello, Mrs. Clinton. Anthony. Okay. Said that. And Howard, who I know is a great guy. What's outrageous is that she compares her agony to the aftermath of the Matthew Shepard killing. Come on, says Howard. And then I have one here that says, do I want to know how much my house is worth?
How much is your house worth?
Check right.
Given some of the email we get, that's fairly tame, actually.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I got, Joe.
All right, very good. Let's go on to other issues then and talk about other things in the news. And we will, as I bring this up.
You got climate change on one hand while you're doing this. And Monica Lewinsky on the other.
That's right.
So, but we did get from our audience a lot of letters on climate change, some of which we weren't able to get to yet.
Do you want to get to them, or do you?
Well, it's up to you, Joe. You're the.
Well,
you're
go
the,
ahead.
The head
go
guy.
Ahead. While I get this.
Okay, you're the head guy.
The head cheese.
And says Anthony, we're missing the big picture by not pushing cleaner coal, as coal burning is the biggest and growing source. Also, can we lead the world in this. And what's interesting about Anthony's letter, of course, is that at least one major college has now said nothing doing. We're going to divest ourselves of all the money we have in coal. Which is
yeah. Some people argue that the term "clean coal" is an oxymoron, and there's no way to make coal provide heat and energy without really damaging the atmosphere.
Well, that's probably true, but there is something that's better than something else, right?
So that becomes the argument of natural gas.
Well,
then you get to
if they called it less bad coal. It's not quite as good.
We're talking about scrubbers,
sure.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, George says, left out this. The valuation of the air quality health benefits from clearly from cleaner air outweigh the clean up costs of climate change mitigation. And that is from Dr. George D. Thurston, professor of environmental medicine and population health at the NYU School of Medicine. And then John says, you should note that 2 degrees Celsius is more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit. To use Joe's simile. It would be like having a fever of 102 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
Okay. And Blaze says, with the increase in natural disasters, one would have to think the climate report would have been released a couple of months ago. This information and strategy release it has been known for months, in quotes. It'd make too much sense to release the information during early spring when both flooding and hurricane seasons begin. This would give people more time to prepare for disasters, both short and long terms. And that's from Cheers from Blaze. George says, oh boy, this is a PhD thesis, left out the debate is the fact that the human health benefits of the air quality improvements.
We did that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I must have gotten it
I
twice.
Liked it, though.
Yeah, okay. And so I'm going to read it again.
All right.
Okay.
Do you see the one from Jay?
No, go ahead and read it.
It's up at the top there. Scroll to the top.
It's above the one about how much is your house worth.
Right.
Usually I agree with Ray. I usually don't, but Ray is on target. Monica will be an issue in the upcoming election. The Republicans have guaranteed it. She wants to act preemptively to get her story out, and she makes some money, no harm, no foul. Would it be better for her to be passive and let the Republicans define her again? And that's from Jay.
I disagree.
And then Carolyn.
Not really, Jay.
Alan, remember?
Unusually.
Alan, now, Carolyn may be picking on me because I'm old. Alan, remember John Profumo, Christine Keeler, and Mandy Rice Davies? Yes, I do. But that was a long time ago. Rice Davies ended up happily married in Israel. Carolyn. Okay. And Mike. Everyone, tell me if I read this one already. Doesn't seem familiar.
I haven't heard.
No, I don't think you did.
Everyone, most especially from progressive corners, want remedy, but few are willing to do the necessary. Leaders and opinion makers set worse example by refusing solutions and conservation practices they encourage but expect the minions to implement. Today, our president himself flies cross-country to mix it up with the Democratic money people. Business and media leaders continue burning hydrocarbons and puffing up boomer retirement funds by investing in mega companies that drive mass consumption. And those presumed to be most in the know run quickly down to the Apple store to get their newest plastic gizmo, which I'm reading. Travel is up, price of gas is down, turbines spin to drive up the tweeting and iPadding. Silicon Valley and Route 128 are jammed with business go-getters who say, tis, tis, that guy from Podunk hides his head from climate change. Solutions sound good, but who goes first? And when it's time to give something up, thanks for keeping the talk and topics lively. You're the best.
We interrupt this program for some breaking news.
Okay.
We have a lockbox. That letter was very long.
And yes. Now the show's over.
If it was shorter, we would have more time for this. But we want a lockbox challenge update. And for that, we go to Megan Finnegan. Megan, good morning. Welcome. What good news do you have to tell us?
All right, Joe. This morning, we have $137,235 in the lockbox.
What does that mean, Alan?
That means we got to go to,
325
to make it. We only have less. We have less than a month, and we get $25,000 from Mr. Big, who's good for it. He's done it before, but he's also good for not giving it to us if we don't make it. He means business because he is business, and he's made a lot, and he's willing to help us because he loves us.
Right.
And that's what it is. We're going to throw away $25,000. Big ones, as Ray would say.
Right, large. But so how does one make a pledge into the lockbox?
I'll tell you how one does
it. Thank you.
One goes directly to WAMC.org.
Okay.
And right there it says, Ray, let me throw it back to you. It says...
Something lockbox. There's a picture of it and you click on it.
Well, Gretchen wanted me to remind you that she would love to take anybody's call that wants to call in.
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, 1-800-323-9262.
Extension 145.
Extension 145.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Excellent. Hooray. So, do we know what the total was yesterday? How much did we make yesterday? Do we know that?
I don't know how much we made yesterday specific. Well, let's see. We made 4,000 yesterday because we started off.
But that we haven't counted all the mail from yesterday.
No, we haven't gotten the mail today.
Okay. The only thing, and this is just over the computer.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've made 12,000 since we started
all
on Monday.
All the returns are not in yet.
No.
So we will, but keep going. We got a long, long way to go. Megan, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We want you to get involved. Lockbox, go to the lockbox, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Mike Spain, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Some of you for being here longer than others.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was a shot.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a shot.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.